Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:33 Pacific Summertime. And today is October 16th. Well, we've seen that the opposite sides on Wall Street have, on Washington, have come to a conclusion the day before the U.S. could have defaulted, although some people are saying that the first payment on debt wasn't due until the end of the month. But in any case, we have some form of settlement in here. But the nature of the settlement highlights just how opposed the sides are in Washington. And really, this is just another kicking the can down the road. Now, it is interesting at this stage that what is happening in the US at present, which is literally kicking a can down the road for about 3 months, is exactly what the Europeans were accused of about 2 years ago, in that they weren't dealing with their problems and that they were just kicking the can down the road in terms of what the solution to their various problems have been. From the perspective of the Europeans, that has been quite successful so far. The ECB has basically decided that it is going to provide as much liquidity as is needed, and the governments have embarked on austerity budgets where they, on the periphery at least, and that continues apace. Now, that is also quite a considerable headwind to growth in those economies, and Europe has decided to opt for fiscal rectitude rather than growth. But what we are seeing is that the German DAX index, the CAC index, are pushing on to new five-year highs, and that the Italian index was strong again in here today, and that's extending a breakout from what looks like a more than a year-long range, and the Spanish market is also looking positive in here. So the European economy, having embarked on this low-growth strategy, is getting low growth, but it is growth, and there's a world of difference between low growth and recession. So we can conclude that even though Europe is now a relatively quiet place in terms of news flow, that that's really quite a good thing, and that the performance of the respective stock markets coming off of pretty low valuations relative to a number of other markets is really quite a positive. Of course, with the removal of the risk premium on the political front from Wall Street, we've had a pretty solid day in here today. And we continue to see that the progression of higher reaction lows on Wall Street continues to hold. And the focus of attention is now likely to turn to two factors. And the first is just how much economic damage this closing down of the government for the last couple of weeks is likely to have had. It's certainly going to have had an impact on sentiment among consumers, but just how much it will have affected their wallets is something that's likely to be debated for the next few months. What we can anticipate is that some of the stocks that are most leveraged to the domestic US economy and the actions of the consumer may have a difficult quarter, but it really will depend on when people start to get really back to work, and will they get a lump sum payment from the pay that they've missed over the last couple of weeks. And of course, the next important consideration is the choosing of dates for when the next political circus is going to begin. And it coincides rather smugly with Janet Yellen's appointment as the new chairman of the Federal Reserve. So she's going to have a very difficult couple of weeks, a first couple of weeks on the job. And when we think about exactly what the Fed is going to do, then they're going to remain data-focused. So the impact of the government shutdown on growth is likely to have a debilitating effect. So growth is unlikely to outperform in the fourth quarter. And that will also likely put a little bit of a break on the recovery in the unemployment figures. So that would suggest that we're not going to see tapering this side of 2014. And with the political circus going to kick off again in January, then we might be looking at into the end of the first quarter before we get tapering. So that would suggest that the monetary tailwind that we've been enjoying now since 2009 is likely to remain in place. And considering the fact that we have defined the stock market rally over the last 4 years as liquidity driven, then the liquidity on which it is feeding remains a very significant issue. What we have seen in here today is that some rather large names like Mattel rallied by about 5% intraday and gave up a good part of the advance towards the close. So we are seeing that investors are still a little bit cautious, and the most likely scenario is for additional ranging for some of the larger cap indices. But considering that we are coming off the lows of that side of the range, then the potential for a test of the upper side of the range is probably the most likely scenario in here at present. With the agreement in Washington, then that has been positive for the US dollar. The dollar has been one of the weaker currencies over the last month, and perhaps where it was strongest in here today was against the Japanese yen by about 0.6%. And with the correlation that we have between weakness in the yen and strength in the Japanese stock market in local currency terms, then we can anticipate that the rally that we're seeing on the Nikkei from the lower side of its range and the test of the 200-day moving average is likely to continue, and that the most likely scenario here also is for our push back up towards the upper side of that range and potentially onto new recovery highs. We've had a six-month consolidation in Japan, and there are some challenges ahead for the Japanese stock market, not least in terms of the consumer and the VAT hike that we're going to have in the first quarter of next year. And if we do get that, and it does go ahead, and there's no reason to anticipate that it won't go ahead, then the action of the central bank in terms of attempting to boost growth will likely be to continue to print yen. So that would suggest that we are going to have additional yen weakness, and we're going to have additional strength in the stock market. Now, the Chinese stock market was down about 40 points in here today, and it continues to consolidate here. Now, we've had a rally over the last few months that has taken up to test the region of the progression of lower rally highs that's been evident over the last couple of years, and it's been consolidating here in the region of the 200-day moving average. And we won't have conclusive evidence that the market is back into a demand-dominated environment until it breaks that progression of lower rally highs. And in the meantime, the chances are that we're going to have some additional ranging in here also. With the agreement on Wall Street, then the impact on government bonds could also be reasonably positive. Obviously, there's less of a chance of default now, and that would suggest that some of the risk premium that's been put into the bond market can be removed. But none of the underlying issues that really question the integrity of the bond market have been dealt with. So in the potential that we get a short-term rally in government bonds, then that should really be used as an opportunity to sell, or at least to liquidate exposure to duration. And what we've really been presented with now is a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend in terms of the yield, and what looks like completing top characteristics in terms of the total return on bonds, which suggests that the buy-the-dip strategy that has been so successful over the last 30 years has ended, and that the most profitable or the safest strategy in a bear market is to sell into the rallies. And we are looking like we are going to see a rally, an additional rally, in terms of the government bond prices. But that's likely to run into resistance in the short to medium term and offer a selling opportunity. And I think better mention gold. And gold was a little bit softer in here today, not least because of the while it hasn't really rallied on the anxiety that's been in Washington, the removal of that anxiety is not a tailwind and more of a headwind for gold. And it was down a bit in here today. But over the medium term, we're back into an equilibrium between supply and demand. And the most likely scenario is that we're going to have quite a bit of ranging. And some of that is likely to be volatile in the precious metal markets. And with that, I will leave you for the evening. And I'll wish all the best to all of you.